Yes, a very good afternoon to you. Wherever you are finding yourself in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Tuesday, there is so much which is going on, and I think that is the main reason in many circumstances, or in these circumstances, I actually came back to the business and economic segment. And my approach, or as we avail this minute or this 1 hour, to entrepreneurs and to institutions to use actually to advertise and talk about their product and their services, we also get a chance to actually have a dialogue or to stimulate some sort of thinking and some sort of understanding, looking at what is happening in our economy, looking at what's happening in our country at the economic level. Look, there is so much which is happening. There is so many speeches being given and directive being given and the expectation and hoping of certain things to happen. And my suggestion is to say that we can't keep hoping that certain things are going to happen without doing what needs to be done. No country has achieved its economic aspirations and whatever by hoping. And for the past 2 days or for the past 3 days, I've presented my case or my hypothesis on different things. More importantly, on entrepreneurship. More importantly, on capacitating ourselves and readying ourselves for certain things to happen. And I will also continue as we get to convince entrepreneurs and to bring them on board that, yes, this is what needs to be done. Let us continue this conversation. Let us continue this dialogue where we remind ourselves of what needs to be done. Because I think we need to change our approach. Our approach has always been giving speech to each other, especially the policymakers. Namibia should diversify, Namibia should do what, but there is little effort coming from those that are in certain places. Now, today I want to give a classical example of ourselves, because in so many cases we point fingers to politicians, right? Now, for today, I want to give a classical example that talked to so many of us that in order for us to transition and to get to such a period of economic inclusivity, of innovation, of entrepreneurial culture, investing and taking risk, there is one component we need to address. We should be willing to change. Like, really. I have worked in different companies and I worked with different people, but there is one problem, one issue: ability to change and do something different. I think, to me, that is one of the many problems which is stopping us from going in the direction and achieving what we want. And for today, I'm going to look at that. So, now going forward or moving forward, we need to emphasize on this particular point that as we now say that we want to transition, we want to add value, we want to do whatever, we want to do all those words, I'm repeating them almost every day. The question should be, are we ready to change? Are we ready now to change, like to put ourselves in certain shoes that we never worn before? Because this is why the most difficult thing, that when you go to the north, we are still plowing once a year. We don't want to change from Mahangu to anything. We don't want. Now, when you are here in Windhoek saying that we should restructure our economy, we should move out of SACCO, we should not listen to the WTO, my key question for many of you, that are you colleagues willing to change and to take the heat of change? Because if you move out of SACCO, it means you lose around 20 billion, between 15 to 20 billion. Every financial year. Are you comfortable to go through that heat and to find money? That's why you don't hear your minister of finance, any of them from Mesara to Tateshimi now, none of them talk about moving away from SACCO. Because they are guaranteed between 15 to 20 billion. They are not going to be comfortable with the change and coming up with measures to find new money. So now when you are telling Namibia that we should now start participating in oil and gas, are you willing to do what needs to be done to change? Are you willing to accept the heat which is going to come from your USA?
And that's why I think we are so uncomfortable in making a drastic change in terms of our policies, because we are afraid. Look at when you are talking about Ngungula. Everyone is so scared. Ngungula is driving us. But Ngungula is not because of you. Ngungula is people showing you that we do not want to buy your oil. They are saying we want cheaper oil in Angola. So it has nothing to do with you. And we are being very selfish, actually. No, all now the services are dying. The services are not dying. The services will just actually make up and come to the level of the market. We are not comfortable with economic changes and consumer changes and consumer preferences. We've been given an idea that go buy a stake in our Lobito. Until now, we did not even make a decision. We are the same people who cannot amend the procurement law just to suit us anyhow that we want. And I'm telling you this, I call ministries, I call whoever to say, come and do this with us. They will tell you, no, the procurement law. And I keep asking them, guys, when you talk about the procurement law, is it something that you can't change, or you are the one who's afraid of changes? So the key question is, how will you facilitate economic restructuring when your people, your leaders, and the individual in the economy are not willing to change and they're afraid of changes? We should also ask that question first before we talk about anything else. So before we jump to anything else about we want to change the economy, we want to get our people involved. The people are not willing to change. The people are comfortable with the minimum that they are getting. The people are used to all the bare minimum they get. That's why I'm so surprised when it comes to young people and they're getting 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000. And they are comfortable and they are okay. And they just know life is hard. Life is not hard. These people have just normalized the pain and the bare minimum. And the best way for us to do this thing, and you cannot implement anything. I'm learning this. You cannot implement anything with people that are not willing to change. And I'm living proof of this. I'm seeing this every day. When people are not comfortable with something new, with innovation, with the changing things of how things are done, they will not assist you. Every day you will propose and propose and propose and they will reject it. No matter how good, how many good ideas you have, when your team, when the people that you have around in your company, in your ministry are not willing to change, nothing will get implemented. And I'm saying this because I've been in various institutions. I have worked with a lot of people. Their inability to see changes and to capture what is coming is the most difficult. And I keep saying that I work with individual business people and I tell them this. Either you go this direction or this is what is coming. Can you go the direction? Can you give up your finance? Don't handle your finance. You cannot be the business person and you're the one who's doing stock. Get somebody else. You cannot be the one who take the money to the bank. Get somebody else. They are not willing to change. So that's why now I'm saying, no matter how much noise we make, for those that are in political ground or in Bank of Namibia or whatever, these people will not change until we change their mindset and their narrative of how to do economic matters. People are okay in living in Havana where there is no water and electricity. I do not know this complacency and level of acceptance came from. Now you are here telling them to go participate in oil and gas. Teachers are so comfortable once they get their job as teachers. All they want is marriage. That is it. That is the same thing. Nobody's willing to do something different to go merge in clinical research. No. And that's why you are seeing in Namibia, we are all now going to do what is actually very comfortable. Because nobody's willing to change. That's why our politicians do not want to leave politics. Nobody wants to change and move. So that's why I'm saying we are not going to go in oil and gas. We are not going to improve our productivity in agriculture. If you tell a person, stop with that, what you are doing, and do it this way, and they'll tell you, I've been doing like this for 2 years, for 7 years. We will not achieve the diversification, the restructuring with such a mindset. So that's why now the key question is, why are we so afraid of changes? Why are we not willing to go to do something different? We need to address that. And like at the highest level, we need to start from there. Can we change people's mindset? Can we make them comfortable? The change is inevitable. Sectors need to evolve. People are coming in Namibia to take up our opportunity because they are willing to change from being a teacher to become a truck driver, because it's where money is. You have teachers who even do not want to learn how to do e-learning. You have communication practitioners that when you tell them, can you do a voice recorder for us? They are not willing. No, we already sent you a press release. You have people in ministry that will tell you, do not have to hold a conference. Just do a digital one. The people who listen online, they do not want. And to me, even in institutions and company, when you have people that are not willing to change, this is the most difficult thing and the most exhausting thing. It will drain you. Whatever potential you see, an opportunity to see, you see, and you want your company to tap in, it might not be actually be tapped on if people are not willing to change. And it's not because every idea is good, but we have to keep trying and seeing how things can go. Nothing ever came without a trial. But people are so comfortable. They are so used. Then how will we venture into new things? How will we expand our economy into new direction when we are not willing even to come up with e-governance for government forms just to be applied online? Until today, a person just have to apply on government through a government form. And if you don't feel it like it is, they will throw your form away. Just because you didn't put the whole ministry or you have abbreviated it. And then you'll be like, why are you people asking for petty things? And it's because they do not want to evolve and move. They think, you know, it just, no. All this petty, useless thing is what Namibians are focused on. If you go to an interview without putting on official shoes, they will look at you like, And I love my sneakers. They were like, you are disrespecting it. It has nothing to do with you. I just don't want to wear official shoes. It's so hot. But they don't want to move from such an area of operation where in the 90s you have to wear a suit even in summer. Then how will we move to restructure, to change things when we are unable to change the basic things? Most of our old men, if their wife is gone for a whole week, they will never cook. They will just be there eating bread. Because they still believe, no, kitchen is just for the woman. But he's going there to get the bread. Those are the people you expect to tell them to go on oil and gas, to go on green hydrogen. Are they the same people that you say, you should cultivate your land only twice or three times? Put mahangu now, put potato, put what? Are those the same people? No. They are not willing to change and to accept anything different. And that make it very difficult for our restructuring and diversification journey.
Look, the change I'm referring to is just not you going into the mirror, then you say, okay, cool, you're going to change. I know it's the most difficult thing to change. And I'm not saying because I'm even having it easy. I'm finding it difficult to adapt, to become a different person in terms of economic matters. It took me probably 7 years to utilize my degree because I was so hard-headed that, no, I can't go be a teacher. I can't go to VTC. I could have gone to VTC. I can't go to NIMT. I could have go like everyone and become a teacher, like do a new certificate. And all my friends have changed what they have studied to go to teaching or to go to nursing. I was stuck in my economic world. And I'm saying we will not take up opportunity if we are not willing to change. We are still stuck in a narrative that go to university so you can get a job. We are still stuck in that. We are still sending kids to university. Some of them are living closer to VTC, but we don't want to change and to understand that the economy needs more vocational graduates. People who can deal with ammonia, people who can deal with fertilizers, people who can do water engineering, and people who can do boreholes. That is what the economy need. But you are still telling your kid to go to university. Are you the one who's afraid of change, or is it just that you do not understand the new economic frontiers? So that's why I'm on my lecture today and my noise making today, I'm saying we will not take up the economic opportunities that are emerging because we are afraid to change. You are afraid to tell your kid to say, put on overall and go work in a field. When you go to the Vambu men, I'm going to be specific, to the Vambu men, the Oshwambo speaking men, they used to go to Angola to get cattle herders. Now the Angolans are now also outgrown it. But the Oshwambo speaking men, they will not take their son to go to Oambo. No, because they it's one of the most pathetic things I do not understand. People who love cows but are not willing to take their own son via Oambo. Because they are not willing to change. Until now, you hear them on the radio. We are looking for somebody to go look after cattle. Where are your son? And it makes sense because you do not want to understand that the cattle herding is a very, very luxurious and very, very, very important job. And I tell my friend until that, guys, if you give me internet and you take me to Hamboyo to your cattle post, I will go. I think it's one of the most beautiful jobs. All I need is just internet. Especially a well structured farm where I just move the cattle, bring them to milk them, give them their whatever winners or whatever you call them. I will go. And it's something that I have been contemplating on a lot. Why do our forefathers and our grandfathers don't like to take their son? Especially after maybe the 60s or something. They started going to Angola to send people in Angola or whatever. Even now, one of my friends have somebody, two people that he took from Angola to come and go. And I'm like, why don't you take your cousins there? Because we in Namibia, we don't want to change. And the change I'm referring to is economic change, understanding where the money is coming from. Now you will hear them, no, my cattle are stolen, they sold my goat. If you took your son there and you make your son understand that, son, this is our cattle, grow them and we sell and we make money. He will not sell the cattle. But guess what? You are taking stranger to your most precious commodities. It's one of the most puzzling things. And it's because we do not want to change economically, to understand where the money and the opportunities are in the new economic frontiers. Most of them, we just want to go to a Rongo region and come to Windhoek. Until now, all of us are stuck. When we look at Tomaeke, when you look at Kunene, when you look at the Central North and Kavango, we are not seeing money. But that is where the money is. The people in Windhoek have money in Windhoek. They are living somewhere there near Tsumebe, near Chuarongo with big farms. Because they understand the rural area is where money is. But for us, me and you, we are struggling to economically evolve, to see the opportunities that are popping up and restructure ourselves. I know it might take long. Because people who see us, when we went to school, now when they see us, they will ask you, oh, Kanjengo isoka? Oh, Kanjengo, what are you doing now? Oh, you are still walking. Because we had to change and to restructure ourselves, to look at somehow we can utilize our degrees and diplomas. And it's a long shot. So my hypothesis today is that with the new economic frontiers, new opportunity and sectors popping up, my Tswana friend, my Themba friend, my Mbukusu friend, and my Nama friend, are you willing to economically transform yourself? One day I posted a vacancy of bar ladies or something like that in club. There are girls who hold bottles like in clubs, something like that, and they serve people. And I posted in a group, yo, people came for me. Why you wanna what? You. Then somebody tell me like, do you know how much those bottle girls get paid? I'm like, oh no. They get paid a lot of money. They get tips in there. But now, you're looking at our people. You're saying, no, it's very demeaning. It's very what? All I'm saying is, guys, with this new economic structure, you have to evolve and transform yourself. And respect and decency and culture does not go away. Those are things that are in your mind, in your soul for me. I'm always going to be a typical Themba man, typical Vambu man, typical Mbukushu. It will never get out of me, wherever you take me. So it doesn't mean if I'm going to go work in a hotel or in a bar, I have lost my culture. No! You introduced this cruel economy to me, and you expect me to still be a Themba even in Windhoek. And because I'm a Themba even in Windhoek, I should go look after cattle in Windhoek where there are no cattle. No, I have to evolve and transform myself and fit in an economy. And it doesn't mean I lose my cultural upbringing. But the economy is about money, right? Isn't it? I have to eat. But it doesn't mean it changed me who I am. As a Namibian or as a cultural dude. No, it's just that at an economic level, I have transformed and made myself a commodity. Because in an economy, all of us are commodity. Either you're an asset or you're a commodity. And if you do not transform yourself to be an asset or a commodity in a certain sector, you are very useless. Even though you value at the cultural level, it's okay. We are not, as a human being, as an Namibian, as an African, you are valuable. But at an economic level, if you do not transform yourself to be valuable, everyone is looking at you like, that one. And they will also laugh at you at home. They will not give you food at home. They will not give you a place to stay at home. So I'm saying, maintain your culture within yourself. Be that Themba man, be that Mbukushu inside you. But when it comes to the hustle, my guy, I'm not saying go kill people. The economy is not about killing. And I'm just saying that be willing to transform yourself, to change and adopt a new way of doing things. And jump into emerging sectors so you make money. You are now stuck in education because it's very comfortable there. Your salary is coming, whether you teach well or you don't teach well. And I love you teachers, don't feel bad. It's just a very good example. Because many of you are stuck in teaching. But you are one of the most smartest person in class. So it means that now you can also go create, innovate. When you go home, go create a product. Teaching that's not supposed to kill your dream. Teach because you are very smart and we need you to teach. But if you have ability also to create certain things and take up opportunity in the ammonia, nitrogen, whatever you call it, or potato processing, dude, go do it. It's called change. And many African and Namibian are so afraid of such changes. We are afraid, bro. We are afraid. We are afraid. Our mother just wants us to be pastors. But nowadays, I think it's good to be a pastor. But just be a charming one and be ready to be a crook. I'm just saying, they can come for me on this one. Be ready to be charming and be able to take people's money. Yeah, ne? So my concern as an economic observer is that we have to change. We have to change. We have to change. And are you ready to change? Are you ready to change? And are you willing to change? And ask yourself, why are you not changing? Why when that young person come up with that proposal to your face or to you, you reject it and you shame them and you tell them we have been doing things like this. I one day I was in a cab and the old man was driving. And I tried just to talk to him like that. Yeah, we can actually do this. And I'm like, no. Young man, I've been driving for 7 years. That statement, it shut you up. You won't do anything. You won't say anything to that man. We have so much arrogance and confidence in ourselves about what we know and in the sector that we are.
But I'm suggesting, I think we need to tone down on our arrogance and confidence, especially if you are not getting a lot of money. My guy, I'm just saying, and I'm not willing to say, yes, I'm also very stubborn. People have been telling me that, why are you not going to work in government? Why are you not going into government? Yes, I have my own reason. And it's not that because I'm afraid of changing from my comfort, from working from home, or being flexible, or is it the rules perhaps, or anything. No, I've been in government. But one thing that I have a problem with people in government is their inability to change. Is their inability to change. That is just one thing that makes me angry. When I was at a certain procurement unit in government, I went into a fight because they were giving training, but they were leaving us inside. And I was like, you guys are saying you are training people, but we are interns in here and you are not training us. What type of thing is that? Like, no, it doesn't work like that. How does it work then? Change it. Everything which is so difficult for me when people tell me, the only thing I have, we change it. We change, we improve it. And I was also at a certain organization as an intern anymore, and I was doing some great work. And I say, you guys have a post for economist. Can you just take me in then? You seem like you love my work. And they say, no, we do not employ interns. You have to go, then you can go apply. I'm like, you changed the process. You changed the procedures. Why are we acting like the policies are made from heaven and we have to pray and climb the ladder to go to heaven, or maybe even go to hell and convince Satan? We change it so it can work for us. So that's what I'm saying. The willingness to change and to be agile is going to be a game changer for Namibians. And until we are willing to change, until we are willing to fix things and to adapt and to be agile in our operation, I doubt many Namibians are going to participate fully at the maximum and reap the benefit of our economic expansion. Guys, ONL is restructuring. ONL sold their biggest company. That is the beer company. And it's something that I never understand. Guys, Siveni sold Namibian Brewery. He sold it. They sold it. Now imagine, if it was you, will you change like that? Will you change like that? Selling your biggest company. Will you sell it? You, me. Will you sell? Will you transform yourself and change and sell a company like Namibian Brewery? Will you? So that's why I'm saying, guys, if we want to take all this opportunity, look at Siven. And I have so much respect for Siven, like, because I was like, yo, guys, how do you sell Namibian Brewery? Why? And they did it, my guy. They sold Namibian Brewery. Their biggest company. And all of us, we drink beer. All of us. So much money. And they sold it. There is the ability to change when you are seeing something different. When there are new opportunity coming. Now look at Sven and ONL. They are going in green hydrogen. They are operating something in Germany. My guy. They are moving Pick and Pay. They are doing other beautiful work, taking up other opportunities. Now me and you, we are being told, guys, put the potato in your field. The stop with mango is dry. No, we have been growing mango. My guy, change. Ah, man, it's very difficult. And I know, right? I know. But if there is one thing I'm working on, I'm willing to change. Economically transform myself, I'm willing. I know if my friend Taimi is listening, I know if my friend Indina is listening and others are listening, they will say, but we have also been telling you to go in government, to go in the police. I refuse so many things. I got to go in the city police. I refuse also. But now, as I'm learning, as I'm growing, guys, wherever there is an opportunity to make better money, please change. Please transform yourself. As long as it's not illegal, transform yourself. Be that agile. Be that flexible to move across sectors and make the money. That is it. Don't be stuck. Take that risk. And to me, is the only thing which is going to prevent Namibia from going into those sectors. Because I sometimes wonder, like, that's why I, until today, I say, I'm going to have respect for James Nyupe forever. I'm going to say that. Because for you to convince all the people about hydrogen, yo, to be able to make that happen, guys, Namibian who are not willing to change for anything, they don't want to change for anything. They don't. And he may manage to convince people about hydrogen. Yo, guys, that is the one of the most difficult thing. Because I'm even failing to convince my team of young people. Now imagine James convincing those old people about green hydrogen. Ooh. That's what I'm saying, guys. We can learn something from James Nyupeng, James, in terms of changes and transformation. We can learn something from ONL. We can learn something. We can learn something that will enable us to transform and to change ourselves economically. I want to do both, guys. I want to nag. I want to complain. I want to scream. I want to shout at people. But at the same time, I don't think I've ever ran away from a solution. I'm willing to come up with solution. And in all my presentation, unless you just don't like me, which is okay, there is none of any of these days I came in this studio and I'm just nagging and complaining. No, I'm providing solution. I'm coming up with my hypothesis. I'm coming up with my suggestion and research question for me and you to answer. I'm putting all my proposal forward. And I'm saying, if we are to take up opportunity that exists in our economy right now, it starts with your ability to be agile and flexible. That is it. And it takes now courage for you to be some of us. I remember one of my friends, he also did economics, and he was writing for Namibian Sun. A whole economist went and do his master, all economist, and he was still writing as a journalist. And I'm sure many of us will look at him, but you did economics, bro. But you have even a degree, but you've even a master. Why are you doing in media? It's the ability to be agile and flexible across sectors and make your money. If you are going to be shy because you did economics and you cannot go in media, you cannot go be a teacher, you cannot be what in go agriculture, then there is a problem, there's something wrong with you. And that's why now I'm here to say, if we are to take up opportunities that exist in our economy, be willing to sell fish. Be willing to sell whatever you need to sell to make the money. Transform yourself into any sector where the money is. Anyway, this just reminded me, guys, I'm selling a fukwa for those who want that I know Induk. I'm selling a fukwa. Anyway, let's get back. So your ability to change will also make it possible for you to make the money. And I'm saying economically change. Other things, psychologically, your relationship and others, those are up to you. Do whatever you want, your mess. But it's good to be in a mess when you have money. Be like Etito Mboeni now, whoever you call him. He's just there dressing all weird and having some beautiful midi crisis with all the money and big portfolios. Be able to change. Yes, I'm not encouraging you to be a politician. As much as I want, guys, I don't want to change and become one. But what I'm saying is that the economic right now, so many economic sectors are popping up. But are we willing to change to take up these opportunities? Are we willing to transform ourselves? Are we willing, colleagues? Are we willing to? Because I do not know anymore. And I do not believe in those that are going out there giving speeches and thinking things are going to happen and thinking inclusive economy is going to be built. No inclusive economy is going to be built when the people are not willing to change and to transform themselves to such a level and take up those opportunities. So that's what I'm saying. I'm dealing with the fundamental problems. We laid a good foundation that will enable a solid building to be built. I'm about making the soil so fertile The ground should to be so fertile so that every seed that we throw in it gonna germinate and it's gonna grow. Because I don't think we have done that. And that now motivating my conversation every day I come in. The foundation and the ground and the soil to be prepared so that every graduate or non-graduate, if they choose to do something in the Namibian economy, they will be able to prosper. That is my suggestion and that's my ground. That's why I come here every day now. And that's why I come to talk, I come to nego, I come to shout, whatever you call it. But the economic transformation starts with me and you, our mind and our eyes to open it to be like a Chinese when they come to the Hosea Kutako. They'll be like, opportunities. According to Mekadikwa, I want you to be that Namibian who, when you go to Divundu, you're like, money, my G. When you go to Lud, the same thing, you have solution and you are seeing opportunities. Even if you're a teacher, and this is why I love teachers so much. When they become teachers, they are done for their life. And that is many Namibian. That is me and you. When we get our 5,000 job, we are done. We are no more smelling opportunities. And it takes that economic transformation for us to jump into these new economic frontiers.
Thus, for this now, the question is, where do we start? Where do we start to change? And as I said earlier, this is not the change where you look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be an economic hero. I'm going to participate. These changes are structural. They are about changing the narrative, changing the information that we consume, changing the conversation about the economic matters, changing our ideas about how to build an economy. Because if we are sitting around and hoping that somebody will push us to go in hydrogen or will push us to produce more from our green scheme or to turn around Transnamib, I think that is just not ideal. And this is the hope we have always been having. We sit around and criticize Transnamib. Like, Transnamib is not what? Transnamib is not what? But are we willing to change? Because Transnamib is not a person. Transnamib are individuals that are in there. So the key question is that, how do we get somebody in Transnamib? And we are certain that this person is a different mindset. Because the changes start with me. So that when I get to be appointed as Transnamib or Eagle FM manager, my narrative or my way of doing things and how I look at the economy is also a change. That's why I'm saying that in all our economic conversation, it starts with the foundation. It starts with the foundation and the soil where we are. Our conversation and our view and the narrative. And that's why you hear most of my people, they will say, no, those are things for white people. It started from such words. Let us do this, a thing for white people. Why are you selling? Ah, this a thing for foreigners. Those are the narratives that we need to change. Because you are not selling biltongs because you are not who. You can't sell meat because those are things are for who. You can't sell milk because you think, no, those are just, you know. You can't sell tomato, you think, no, I'm not a farmer, so I sell tomatoes. You can't sell brooms because, no, you'll say like, no, those are things for Zimbabweans or for people that, you know, we have such a bad and very narrow mindset of economy. But these people are making money. They are selling. They are doing things. They are, you know. So we needed to change how we look at things. You as a girl child, you as a boy child, the narrative that exists that you can't sell fat cooks. No, you can't sell fat cook, bro. You're a dude. But this is money, man. When money comes, it's not written man or female or whatever. When it comes to investment, it doesn't look at gender. When it comes to money, it doesn't look at gender. So now it's for the boy child and for the girl child to have new narratives about the economy. And I can tell you this, the economy doesn't say anything about your culture. It does not do any harm to your culture. It does not bring your hereloness or your twananess in you. No.
You have it inside. But when it comes to making a dollar, I don't think there is any activity that you're going to do in the Namibian economy and say it's against your culture. What does selling have to do with your culture? What does you investing and doing or processing maize meal have to do with your culture? So don't blame our culture. Our culture did not stop us. Our culture did not do anything. Yes, perhaps we are still living within our culture, economic culture. But it's not our culture that prevented us. It's our inability to change and to evolve and to understand that we are now living in a different world where things are done in this way and things are done in that way. And we just need to evolve. We study, we look at things. Because as you go in a plane, you look at that huge thing. How did they make this thing? They're having leather, they're having food. How are their food even packed? Can I prepare it for them? It's our ability to see opportunities. And I think we blame education so much because of the blanket they put on our eyes. But I don't think we can't keep having such an excuse. When we are now having a platform like this where we are able to have a conversation among ourselves and remove the blanket and wear specs and zoom out of the opportunity that exists, is the changes I'm referring to. And I'm telling you, in every institution, it's a struggle. Because they say you are only a good leader if you're able to sell your vision to your people. Yo, that's the most difficult thing. Selling your vision. And it's not only at the company level, even at the country level. As soon as we launch NDP 5 or NDP 4, for some month we forget. We forgot already. We forgot the Vision 2030 already. We forgot already Harambe Prosperity. We forgot. Because if now the vision or if the program does not enable change, nobody's going to take it up. And also I'm saying that in everything that now we are going to launch at the national level, it should enable changes among our people. It should cultivate a culture of change, a culture of moving forward. Because we haven't fixed that thing at the ground level. We haven't. We just started talking about opportunity. We just started telling people to go study. This education is not changing the mindset of the people, unfortunately. And that's why I think it's very, very important for us to start having this conversation that there only is the change that will allow you to take up that education. Is the change in you that will allow you to consume such information at the level of soberness and be able to convert it an economic opportunity. But without that change in you, you preparing, you decluttering and unlearning and relearning and preparing a new ground is what is going actually to be critical in our way going forward. Because how will you now interpret new knowledge if you are still stuck in the old way of thinking? Is the question. And that's why we have a lot of people who have read a bunch of books. They have read this, they read that. But their mindset and their way of thinking has not changed a bit. Because they haven't allowed the change to happen. And I'm talking about economic change. I'm talking about new lenses of looking at the economy. As I said earlier, I'm not so good in psychology. I'm not so good at relationship and love and other things. So I leave them to expert. But one thing I say is that if we want the Namibian people to take up opportunity, your kids to go do better in your company, you have to start facilitating or enabling changes within their mindset. That to start thinking as an entrepreneur when you step in this ground. Start thinking like a mother when you step in this ground. They need to be flexible and agile. We all have to be open in this stage. Because when you're open, you get to learn difficult things. We have to be economically opened. So we start thinking for ourselves and how we can take care of our little brothers and little sisters. But if we have people that are not thinking as often, because when you're an orphan, you have no option.
In our culture, most of our aunties are very, very mean. You can't go there. So you're on your own. So Namibian people, you're on your own. Your government doesn't want to start a bank. Your government doesn't want to fund you as a startup or whatever. You're on your own. And it means now, what they are doing is just that, no, come and take opportunities, come and take opportunities. But this opportunity, are you seeing them? You're not seeing them because you haven't been opened up in such a level. You're able to see, opportunities. You haven't been. And that's why I'm saying that we are being hypocritical in our call for inclusivity, youth participation in the premier promotion and all these things. Because we didn't open up the people. We didn't, and it's true, our education didn't open us. You are finding us commerce graduate looking for jobs and crying. But our majors in entrepreneurship, our majors in economics, the most unemployed people are people from commerce. But we are the one who understand the economy. We're supposed to understand how the economy works. We are the one who have been taught market research. Because we haven't enabled the education either to change us, or the education was not strong enough to change us, or it was not presented to us to change us, or when we were learning, we were not at such a process to change. Because many of you guys went to school hungry, many of you guys walked to school, many of you guys went to UNAM and so far, many of you attended classes when you're hungry. So the education did not change a single thing in you. And as a result, you haven't changed. You are still a village boy. You are still a village girl. You are still, you know, Kwalondo or Kamatapati or in Tintabis or Betani. You are still thinking as a Betani kid, a Tessa kid. But you're in Windhoek, my guy. You will not survive here. And that's why many of us in Windhoek, especially the boys, will go to the cheapest option, which is to steal and to rob people. That is the only easiest thing, because change is so difficult. To be able to transform yourself, to say, I want to sell now. I'm going to sell this now. That is the most difficult thing as a boy child. Imagine I'm selling sweets. When we went to visit the people at UNAM there, the kids who started selling sweets are girls. They're the ones selling lunch packs, not dudes, not guys. Because a boy child is the most difficult person to change. And that's why the boys are the one robbing and doing all these bad things. Because transforming themselves economically is the most hardest people. And that's why I'm saying that it's now going to be very difficult if we as a country are going to preach about inclusivity and the participation of the youth when they are unable to change their mind. Let us actually call for change among ourselves, transformation. We have now to assess ourselves and our ability and our capabilities and say that which direction I'm able to go in this economy. Can I be comfortable selling? Can I be comfortable trading? Can I be comfortable adding value to this thing? Can I be comfortable actually becoming a teacher? Can I start innovating? Allowing the process of transformation in your mind and to be that level, to see the opportunity that exists. Because until you sit down and you close your eyes and you listen to certain people and you choose what to read, you choose which radio to listen to, I don't think you're going to change. And there is something in the Christian world which is so beautiful. The Christian world don't recommend one book, the Bible. They don't recommend anything else. Because they want you to be in line, influenced by only one book. And the same approach when it comes to the economic matters. Choose what to read. Choose whom to listen to. Choose whom you engage. So that you can allow that transformation, economic transformation to happen. Otherwise, you want to change. You want to see the opportunities. Many of you know Jesus because it's recommended. Many of you know God because it's recommended. But nobody's recommending you to choose economic transformation. Nobody. So you know, I'm saying that until we fix the foundation, it will be very hard for us to influence these people. And when I listen to people complaining, I sympathize with them.
But I just wish that, okay, cool, like, I don't have money. I don't. But I do believe if five of us change our mind, if all of us focus that we are going in. In my conversation with my cousin today is that, guys, I'm now broke, just keep being broke and broke. And it's not because I'm not working. It's because you guys, we are not working together. Because I want you guys to pay my rent for 2 months. Yes. Why? Because I want to put all my money now into this other business I'm thinking about. You guys pay for my room. And one of them like, hey, look, am I your wife to pay your room? You know, then I look at him like, okay, it's the thinking that I want you to change and to understand to what level of my reasoning am I at? Because once you come at the level of my thinking, then we are done. You will agree. And this is why in many of our families, Kanjenga will never be rich or might not get rich sooner. Nangula will not go to that level and buy his car. Because the families and the people surrounding him or are not in the same mindset. When Nangula is saying that, let us make him more mahangu and sell. One tategulu gonna come, no, we don't sell mahangu in our family. We only do it for the family. Until you change the mindset of those that are around you, the vision and the plan will not materialize. And I have learned that, yes, I don't think I'm going to be at the level where I want if my cousins and my family and my sister are not in the same mindset. Because when I say, guys, I don't want to give anybody money this month, then this meme will say, we know you don't like us. We know you don't, you know, that emotional blackmail. And I understand it because they are not in the same level of mindset I am. I'm saying, let me make you guys suffer right now so I build something sustainable. Because right now I'm just running around getting $50, getting $60. So I give you, but I'm not building anything. But the countries are not doing such petty jobs. They are taking long shot, long visions. So as our previously advantaged, they are taking long plans that we are eating only meat. And what is there? We don't go to shop. We don't do it. We look after the farm. And in the next year, when we make the money, we do that. In our family, we are not doing that. In our friendship, we are not doing that. The transformation, the economic transformation among us needed to be cultivated at the highest level. So that whenever one of us have a good idea, all of us, we embrace it. Collectively. And that's why this guy is saying America is innovating like hell and heaven. Why? Every idea is embraced. This guy are taking rocket to the moon for fun. Because people are coming on board to support them with money and capital. They are enabling research to be done. Because the mindset of theirs is at a different level. America is not better than us. Britain is not better than us. No. It's their mindset and their thinking and the way they have transformed themselves to think that this is a jungle and only the fittest. Only the fittest and the sustainable one will come out alive. So me and you now, Tintabase, Opuo, Rwakana, Gorengoro, in what mindset are we? And are we allowing ourselves to change and to transform and to come to such a level of different thinking? Because I will say this and I'll keep saying this. Your village, your town, your house, your friendship, you as an individual will never grow if those that are around you are not changing the way they look at the economy. Are not. If they do not understand the asset and they are not willing to learn what is an asset, if they are not willing to learn what can make them sustainable, then it's going to be very difficult. When I go to Tumeb to my cousin, this is the deal. For us to have money for 3 days that I'm there, I drink whatever he's drinking. Because I love weird things. And I love some good things. And they might be very expensive. So the deal is this, because he drinks cheaper things, I drink what he drinks. Then for the whole 3 days, we have money. So I have to, because I cannot make him to say work hard and get more money, I have just to transform myself because it was so easy and flexible. And we have more fun because it's more fun than I am. I drink whatever I drink. I eat whatever I eat. Pap, meat, that is it. Nothing fancy. And we jump and we scream and we have our fun. So, and that is not the type of environment I'm saying. Let us cultivate the changes and transformation in line with the economic structure and in line with the economic direction. Otherwise, we will never be millionaires and be the one actually leading in economic transformation. We will not be leading in any innovation because we are not changing and to look at the things differently. What we need to change is to remove the specs, those glasses that you did glasses from the doctors, the colonial specs that they gave us, we need to remove them. The colonial lenses of looking at the economy, we need to remove them. Let us remove the economic colonial lenses that they gave us. That the only way to survive is to be consuming South African product. South Africa innovate for you. Europe innovate for you. Those are all colonial lenses of looking at the economy. Let us remove them. And once we remove those colonial lenses of looking at the economy, we will be able to see, so we have rivers. So we have the ocean, the land, and everything beautiful from Zambezi to Kunene. And we will be able to be like our grandfathers. They move around. They have domesticated animals. They have discovered beautiful, good seeds. They survived to bring us here because they had their own economical lenses of looking at things. And they were even more sustainable. There were more animals when they were hunting compared to now because their economic lenses were different. So beautiful people, the change I'm referring to is for you to tell your daughter to develop new lenses of how to look at the world of economy. The transformation, the innovation, the value addition, and the processing. Those are the lenses we need to put on. That is the change we need to put on. So we arrive at that so that every kid understands what Namibia has. And they can come up with any solution, anyhow that they want to do. Beautiful people. Our lenses of how we look at the economy needed to be fixed, need to be changed. And please don't go to America to buy them. No, no, no. We make them. Because we have been using other people's lenses to look at the economy rather than our own. Our strategies are borrowed. We benchmarked. We look at elsewhere. Let us create our own lenses of looking at the economy. That is the change I'm talking about. If we don't change and economically transform our thinking and our view of doing things, unfortunately, there won't be any inclusive economy. There won't be any diversification, restructuring, local content, all these things that you guys are talking about. Until we change how we look at the economy, until we view it in a different lenses of our own, of African, of Namibian, that we have rivers, we have the fertile soil, we have the tourism. Why is it always certain people coming from elsewhere to tell you that your rhino are very important? Why not us ourselves? Because we haven't changed to look at the rhino that this is money. I can show it around. I just need to keep it and feed it and people will come and look at it because there's no way in the world. That is the new lenses. These are the new changes I am talking about. And it won't help even if you have Kanjengo who is now transformed. It won't help because if Kanjengo come to talk to you, you are going to slap him or talk to or chase him. So it means me and you, all of us need to change so that my ideas and your ideas can be like, oh man, that's beautiful. It can be implemented. It's bankable. Now we have a lot of people telling us that is not bankable. We cannot give you money. It is too risky because they haven't changed or transformed themselves to look at the economy with different lenses. And that's what I'm referring to. Let us change. Let us transform our way of looking at the economy so that the things can be bangable, so that things can be feasible. Now hydrogen is feasible. How many of you were denying? How many of you were saying it was a bogus? Now it's actually feasible. Why? Because somebody assisted you to look at it differently. Somebody allowed you to have a transformational a journey about this field or sector. And it's what I'm asking all of you. Can we have such a moment to look at Namibia and to look at Africa in different lens? Let us change our way of looking at the economy so we can take up these opportunities. And with that, colleagues, that was my hypothesis. That was my suggestion. That was my lecture. And I just keep saying, I'm here just to give you ideas and give ideas. And they are not the best, they are not well researched and whatever. But I think they can stimulate the way you think and the way you look at the world, so you can do better than I am, so that collectively you can now have a team of people that are thinking in the same line, not within tribal line, but within economic lines. With that, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for listening to us. Whether you are listening via the app, you downloaded it. Thank you so much. That is the best way. You don't need to depend on the radio. Wherever you are, you can always choose us and listen. Or you are streaming via the website. Or you chose the traditional approach of the stereo. Thank you so much for choosing Eagle FM. And please, this 1 hour belongs to you. Come and advertise your business. Come and get your 30 minutes. Come and interact with the market out there. You can just call us anytime and we will facilitate the conversation. And with that, my name is Kanyoko Kamekulu Kwanyoka. And this was the business and economic segment. Have a good day.